Hi, everyone, and welcome to Topic TBD, our weekly show that is about a topic that is both making the news and also newsworthy. Today, I'm joined by Lisa Fugate, Vice President, Product Management at I2C. Hey, Lisa, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
And today, Lisa, as you can see, is Friday the 13th, a day that many believe is, in fact, the unluckiest day of the year. We're going to change everyone's fortunes in the next 15 to 20 minutes by giving people some interesting insight on a topic that I think a lot of people do associate a little bit with being unlucky, and that is banks and fintech and innovation. I wrote a little bit about that earlier in the week, and it was reprised by a number of conversations that I had at CES about banks' unlucky efforts at trying to keep up with those in the fintech world that are innovating around them. So, Lisa, I wanted to get your thoughts on that as someone who works with financial institutions to help them break that unlucky streak. Do you believe that banks are unlucky when it comes to innovation and keeping up with fintech innovators?
I don't know if it's as much as being unlucky as being stuck. I think if you think about it, I mean, you know, financial institutions, they want to innovate. You know, they really do, and they understand that they need to, and, you know, there's just so many things coming at them. And they try things like, you know, setting up those innovation labs, right? But, you know, that's kind of a static thing. What do you do with it? What's actionable? You can't really scale those innovation labs necessarily. You know, they know their clients. They know their cardholders. They know their customer base and what they want to do. But they get in these challenges where, you know, it's like, what horse do you pick, right? Which technology do you use? How do you keep up? And I think one of the biggest challenges for them is they're working with kind of a, you know, from a technology perspective, legacy payments infrastructure. You know, it was built to be static, really. There were two forms of payments previously, like you had cards, plastic cards, and you had the branch. And all of a sudden, everything is changing, and things are changing so fast for them. They're trying to keep up, and, you know, they're getting these compressed, you know, times for the life cycle of their product development. You know, you go from, like, 10 years it takes to develop something, and now it's, you know, less than two. You know, they're kind of stuck in that position where, you know, what do? They have no control over what they're doing. Their technology isn't where it needs to be, yet they have the demands of what their consumers are looking for. So I think it's not about necessarily being unlucky as it is about really them being stuck and not knowing they have options to change that and to get some of that guidance and understand what's next.
So let's dig into that for a minute. And I'm stuck on my Friday the 13th theme because it's, you know, it's kind of a good day, and it's a good theme. We don't have many Friday the 13th. But if I wanted to avoid having bad luck today, I would avoid black cats crossing my path, and I wouldn't walk under ladders, and I would keep my fingers crossed all day, and all those superstitious things. But keeping on that, so what should financial institutions be doing? I know we've talked a lot about this notion of agile processing. We co-authored a piece on that, which everyone listening should download on payments.com and the I2C website. But talk to us a little bit more about why that's a better option than avoiding black cats and ladders that are up against the side of buildings.
Sure. So when we talk about agile processing, we're talking really about, you know, just what agile is, right? The ability to move quickly and bring innovative and compelling solutions to the market. The actual processing solution is one that really gives card issuers the flexibility and control to create and execute, you know, their unique roadmap vision, you know, what they're actually looking to do and be able to drive more revenue. Some of the key components of agile processing that you can look into, and by the way, it's one of those things where it's not kind of an either or. You can apply agile processing in certain circumstances as well. But it's a matter of those FIs really looking and looking at a different option. But agile processing is really about being able to make changes quickly. They can, you know, look at things and eliminate the technology and the time constraints that are the business requirements. And I think the key features of it is configurable, it's multifunctional, and real-time. And one of the things when you look at agile processing is you can test things, right? You can put them in the sandbox and, you know, figure out and push them out for a little while and test it, and then you can scale it pretty quickly. And the whole part of agile processing is based on, you know, kind of a cloud-based platform. So it gives you the ability to have something that's secure and reliable, but do something else. And I think, you know, when you talk about them not, you know, walking under a ladder or not having a black cat cross their path, I think it's more about them trying to think outside the box, looking at different options than what they've been used to for the last, you know, 10, 20, 30 years, and what they need to do to support their cardholders, quite frankly.
So let's talk a little bit more about that then. I mean, you mentioned that legacy systems reflect a static environment. We're obviously in anything but a static environment today as we're moving, you know, with rapid speed to everything being digital and about the customer. Give us some tangible examples of what Agile can do for an FI that really wants that vision but has a static infrastructure and finds that bridge pretty tough to cross.
You know, one of the some of the examples, so I2C offers, you know, a few different payment options, credit, debit, and prepaid. From a credit example, you know, some of the things that agile processing and that platform gives you the ability to do would be one where, you know, let's say you're offering a revolving credit program, and it's a SMB program. You know, typically, that, you know, that's a pretty standard program. It doesn't really matter, you know, that's a technology that's used all the time. But if you think about it from an SMB perspective and the information that you have on them and understanding their buying behaviors, you understand what they're doing, you know, the ability to offer them in a time frame that's fast, the ability to get other financing. So let's take a bakery as an example. You know, they're doing a really robust business, and it's Friday the 13th, and their, you know, high-end commercial-grade oven goes out. So what are you going to do? And, you know, you're coming into the weekend. They're going to need an oven. They're going to need it fast. They may have it on their revolving credit line, the ability to use that. But what if you could easily, you know, click on a button in your account and request, you know, some term financing or an installment loan or something like that that's separate from your credit line, and giving you the ability to do it really fast, right? You just add another purse to it, you add another account, you already have the information as the issuer, and you have another way that you're, you know, driving revenue, but you're also helping your customer in a situation where they want to have some control and they need responses quickly. You know, I think when you think about agile processing, it's really about how do you put the, you know, pieces, we talk about Lego pieces, but how do you put the pieces together to make that program the best for the issuer as well as for their clients? And not necessarily bolting things on or doing that type of thing, but really having one all in the same place, and you're just basically moving parts around.
So does that also suggest that some of those parts may be parts that are collaborations with innovators outside of the financial institution who can provide some of those capabilities that you just referenced?
I would think so. There are certain cases where you definitely can collaborate. You know, within the financial institution, you know, it's pretty difficult if you look at the, I guess, you know, current or legacy platform technology that they have. I think they've tried some of that, right, is using other partners outside, you know, those constraints that they have. And in some cases it works, in some cases it doesn't. You know, part of it is being able to have some of the integration that's required to really work together. I think it has to be something that's understood, at least from inside the issuer, the FI, to really, you know what they want to do and where they want to go and what you can apply. And having a partner that understands those old technologies and that their new technology can easily work with them. I think sometimes when you try to put two together, you know, it takes a lot of time, you know, fields don't match up, you know, you're looking at different technologies, but if you have a partner who's really using the agile processing, they can come in and, you know, either attach to the old information or look at those fields and really work towards that in a fast and effective manner. So I guess my answer to that is, like, I think it depends on who your third-party technology provider is.
Got it. So let's talk about turning unlucky to lucky and getting these financial institutions unstuck and measuring it where it matters, and that is in terms of revenues and additional profits. What's your experience in working with FIs that deploy this kind of agile processing and new way of thinking? How are they benefiting?
I think the biggest, not only way that they're getting more revenue and the way that they're benefiting is really about the relationships that they're building with their customers. So we all talk about customer engagement and how important that is, but I think you have to have a richer product set with advanced, you know, digital capabilities. So our clients are looking at things like real-time alerts. You know, alerts are not anything new, but the ability to alert a client, you know, maybe something happened on their account, maybe a payment is due, you know, what have you. It could be a whole host of things. But the ability for them as the cardholder to take action on that alert, that's different, right? You're not pushing out an alert about a marketing message, or, you know, you're not trying to necessarily upsell. It's about making that engagement not just about pushing to them, but it's about getting it back from them. It's a two-way engagement. And I think it's the other piece of that is having that relevant knowledge about, you know, their customer. How do you improve their experience? Well, it's by knowing what they do, you know, when they do it, or how they want things, them being able to identify what they're looking for. And the other way that, you know, not just that engagement, but the context of leveraging the moment. That's how our clients are really taking advantage of those, some of those in-the-moment customer experience or commerce experiences. So we have real-time authorizations, and we push out a lot of things that way. I'll give you an example. So let's say you have a customer support, right? And typically you have cardholders or your customers are calling in, and it typically starts negatively. I don't think you have very many of your cardholders who are calling in saying, hey, you guys do a great job, right? Usually something's wrong, they have a question, they're confused. Let's say that, you know, your CSR agent answers the phone and is able to, you know, do the right thing, they're nice, they are able to solve the issue, but at the end of it, they're able to say, hey, you know what, thank you for being a loyal customer. We're going to give you a free coffee at your local coffee place. The agent is then, you know, with the system, is able to actually go in and apply that coffee to their account.
Wow.
The cardholder would then, you know, they get a message saying, hey, remember, you have a, you know, free coffee from, you know, whoever, you know, ABC issuer, right? They decide to use it. They go into the store, and they realize they didn't have to pull up a coupon. You know, they didn't have to get that coupon code and have them scan it. They're able to use their card, and the receipt says free, right? You know, that could happen immediately. It could happen later. But either way, you're turning what could have been a very negative experience into something positive. It's changing the way that a cardholder is really thinking about the brand and thinking about the card, and it also helps to elevate and make that card more top of wallet. It's more like, hey, I just got something free and I didn't have to do anything for it, right? Didn't even have to, you know, pull up a coupon, scan a QR code, any of that.
That's a great example, and it's, I mean, it goes back to just something very simple that consumers do today, which is interact with, you know, a call center in this example, and turning what could have been a difficult experience into something that leaves everybody with a smile.
Yep. And I think the other piece to that too is it's all about having the different avenues to engage with them. Some of them want just a text, some of them just want a website, But it's really important today that even though you have a whole new, you know, cardholder base, customer base that's looking at, you know, digital technologies, they want things immediately in the palm of their hand, they still also want the security of knowing there's somebody to talk to and that, you know, there's, you know, some very safe ways of doing what they need to do. So it's an interesting a situation, I think, for any FI to be in today. It's how do you balance those two things?
Yep. Well, you also talk you talked a little bit about control and customer centric, and I think that those things are certainly very fluid. Issuers, it sounds like, have more control over how they're interacting with the customers, but these are also things that customers can do to exercise more control over their relationship with their financial institution and the products and services that are made available. So it sounds like it's very much a two-way street that this agile method can enable for FIs and their customers.
Absolutely. And when you talk about control, you know, some of it is obviously the financial institution's control over their program and their roadmap and how they're building that vision to meet the needs of the cardholders. But more so than ever, I mean, cardholders have so much technology. They have, you know, a lot of other things that they can control all in the palm of their hand, right? They're controlling the lights on their house from their cell phone. They want to be able to control their financial information, the flow, and their knowledge, you know, at any given time. And so they have those expectations. And Agile lets you do that. You know, you can change things on the fly. You can, you know, make change, even if it's just to a field within your mobile app. You know, that's a big thing if you're a financial institution to make a change like that, that gives that control and that feeling of, you know, actually having power over what you're doing from a cardholder or a, you know, banking client perspective.
So what is involved in actually embracing this new way of thinking? What does an FI have to do in order to change their luck?
I think, you know, the first thing is looking at the roadmap they've built. I think it's, you know, you got to understand what your cardholder base looks like today, what you want it to look like tomorrow, and what you need to do or need to think about to get to that point. So it's identifying all those pieces, and then it's, you know, working with, you know, whoever their technology provider is and, you know, seeking out other options. There's so many different technologies out there. It's important to do your research and not settle for what's there. You know, once those, you know, what they want to do is identified, it's important to understand, well, how can I get it done? You know, what's the best way to get it done and how does that help me for the future? Once you start uncovering some of these and looking at, you know, payments providers and technology providers, you know, like an I2C, who have this technology and can really understand what the needs are, it starts to open more doors, right? It starts to bring more ideas to the table, and then they can change their luck for the future. Yeah, that may be a challenge to begin with, or they may think it is, but with agile processing and agile technologies, it's not as difficult as what you would think from former technologies. You're not trying to put, you know, a round peg in a square hole kind of thing, trying to match up the needs. So for them, I think it's really about really identifying, being very secure in identifying where the needs are today, but then looking to the future. What do I want to do? What do I think will change? What will make my cardholders and my banking clients more reliable? And then, you know, do a little bit of research. Talk to some people. Look out. Find out, you know, where there are places where you could actually get that kind of technology and do it fairly quickly.
Well, it also sounds like it works for more than one day. So you don't have to reserve it for just one day, Friday the 13th,
no.
When everyone's on guard. It's one of those things that has benefit of making your luck change every day of the year. So that's a bonus.
That's absolutely a bonus.
Well, listen, Lisa, thank you very much for joining me today. And as promised, we have provided lots of good insight to change the fortunes and the luck of financial institutions who may feel a little bit disadvantaged when competing with the fintech innovators in the space around them. Thanks for joining me. It was great chatting with you today.
Well, thanks for having me, and, you know, watch out for Black Cat.
Yes, likewise. I'm keeping my fingers crossed all day. I hope you are, too.
Fingers, toes, you know, the whole thing.
Thank you, Lisa. Thanks for joining me, and thanks, everyone, who joined us today. I hope you have a great rest of the day and a good weekend. Thanks very much. Bye-bye now.